Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Elise Lord, and welcome to On the Record, a podcast where we discuss the lives and work of musicians who changed history. Welcome back to On the Record. Today, I'm here with Mark Medwin, who is an assistant professor at American University since 2008 and an active music journalist. He earned his MA and PhD in musicology from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where he completed his dissertation on the works of John Coltrane. Today we'll be talking about Marvin Gaye as a musician who changed history.
So the reason that I wanted to choose Marvin Gaye for this episode is because Rolling Stone just updated their greatest 500 albums of all time list, and they replaced the previous number one, which was Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by the Beatles, with Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. And What's Going On is still considered to be one of the best solo albums of all time. It's got distinct stylistic elements where he's layered several layers of vocals on a single track, and it's his own vocals over top of each other. It was one of the most successful works of his career, with top hits that included the title track, What's Going On, Mercy, Mercy Me, and Inner City Blues. It was really valuable as a concept album exploring social and political themes like police brutality in the Vietnam War. And this was in 1971, so following the civil rights movement, the Kent State Massacre had recently happened, and Gaye's brother was in Vietnam, and he was really heavily influenced by these letters that his brother was sending him, and this is sort of where we start to see his music explore really big themes.
And that's the part that kills me, is we're told the same issues 50 years later.
Right, it's tragic. And you see that those themes with a lot of early musicians, even a lot of Bob Dylan stuff, where they're exploring these political and social themes, and you know, it's being presented as, oh, this is what they were feeling about this time in history. And you listen to the words and you're like, things are still that way, you know?
Yeah, the differences are arguable, they're debatable. And I'm very glad that small steps have been made, but we have a lot of work to do.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many.
This was released when he was at Motown, and Motown founder and record executive Berry Gordy was actually against it because he felt it was too politicized and it would alienate a lot of Marvin's audience, especially his conservative audience. But Marvin Gaye really pushed for this. He said, I really believe in this. I think he actually went on strike for a bit and said, I'm not going to record unless this is released.
He did.
And eventually, yeah, he released it, and it ended up becoming Motown's biggest commercial success. And people were able to relate to those sentiments, and in a lot of ways, they still can. So, Mark, I know you've talked a lot about how this sort of Eurocentric gaze affects how people view Black music, and it's not always true or accurate. Do you think that Berry Gordy's initial rejection of this album was centered in him sort of thinking, what are people viewing this from the Eurocentric gaze going to think?
Motown is a very interesting phenomenon. Just by way of a little bit of background, it is Black music, and it is most assuredly regional Black music, at least in its beginnings. You know, in Detroit, if you listen, let's say, to the very early Motown singles, they have a very specific gospel-tinged, I'll say, Black music sound of the very late 50s and early 60s. And as you go, the arrangements become more lush, more orchestral. So there is a European element in Motown, although it is still Black popular music. It kind of straddles this line, and it could be, I have no real proof of this, but it could be that Berry Gordy, in looking at the very, very urban features of What's Going On, thought that maybe the European element would be missing. I mean, would he have said it that way? I tend to doubt it. Is that part of his thinking, or was that part of his thinking in being reluctant to release it? It very well could have been. I'm thinking of Inner City Blues now with, yes, it does have strings in it, but the strings sound more like what you would hear on a 1970s jazz record, or like even something on Kamasi Washington's Epic, which is much, much later. It's not classical sounding strings. They're very atmospheric and a little bit raw at the same time. And the rest of the Inner City Blues arrangement is pretty, I guess raw is a good term for it. It's got a lot of percussion in it. It's got a lot of, I would say, not necessarily fully African, but at least African laced sentiment in the music itself. So yeah, I would think maybe Berry Gordy would have been a little hesitant, and maybe even for the reasons you describe.
Yeah, I think, he had to think about it, unfortunately, as, you know, from a marketing standpoint and not so much the actual quality of the music. And you kind of see this across Marvin Gaye's career. He originally started off singing at church, like when he was really, really young, you know, and it's gospel. And then jazz was his thing in the very beginning. And eventually he switches to R&B, and there was a little bit of disco. So you sort of start to see that theme within his own music. And it kind of goes along with sort of like the evolution of Motown.
Here's an interesting thing. Sometimes when he would do concerts, even at the height of his fame, he would want to do standards. You know, I remember hearing that an audience was surprised that he wanted to do Me and My Shadow. It's one of those things where, you know, they wanted him to do his hits, you know, Heard It Through the Grapevine or whatever's what's going on. But he comes out and he wants to do, you know, Frank Sinatra type stuff. And so there is always this very interesting conflict in what he wants to do and what they want him to do, whether it's Eurocentric, Afrocentric, or something in between.
Right, yeah, he was really pushing for sort of more of a jazz style, and he does a tribute album to Nat King Cole, but, he had a ton of trouble with the success of those things, even though that was what he wanted to do, and ended up switching over to R&B, where he was really successful, which kind of brings me to my next. He eventually leaves Motown, and this is after a decade after What's Going On is released, and he's dealing with some addiction issues and some financial issues. He lives in Europe. Then he makes a strong comeback and releases his first hit single Alone, Sexual Healing, on the album Midnight Love. And this was his 8th number one hit and won him his first 2 Grammy Awards. And there's an interview where he sort of says, I don't make music for my own pleasure anymore. I make it so that other people can feel things. Do you think this indicates responsibility for Black artists that white artists didn't necessarily have and still don't have today?
This was the point. So we're talking about the very early 80s now. I'm thinking 82, 83.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he dies in the middle of 84. So the success was short-lived. But this is where his career comes back. And not only is he extremely successful, but he's riding this wave of success on a hit that is kind of reminiscent of what he did before, like Let's Get It On, but it also has that new sound in it. It's got a lot of, what you might think of as electronic instruments, and it's got the drum machine going and the synthesizers going. Is it inspirational for Black artists? I would guess that it certainly was.
That was my interview with Mark Medwin on Marvin Gaye. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time on The Record.